طفلة تمتطيه قوس قزح، طفلة.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Palestine, a weekly broadcast of news, analysis, commentary, and discussion of issues relevant to the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's brutal occupation and colonization of their homeland. Today we take another look at the plight of Palestinians who live within the borders of Israel, some 20% of the Israeli population. Hanan Al-Zubi is a longtime outspoken Palestinian activist who also serves as an elected member of the Israeli Knesset. And she is our featured speaker today. For many years, Israel has tried unsuccessfully to silence and marginalize Hanan Al-Zubi, but she has prevailed. And here she is being introduced at the Palestine Center in Washington, D.C.
First, a word about our sound quality. The next 4.5 minutes are a bit of a challenge. Listen carefully, and I think you'll get it. After that, it's much clearer. Our efforts to improve these 4.5 minutes may or may not help. Here we go.
Just by way of introduction, as you know, there are 1.7 million Palestinians living as citizens of Israel. They represent a full 20% of the population. They experience deep-seated racism and discrimination every day on all levels of life in Israel. As a Palestinian citizen of Israel and a newly re-elected member of the Knesset, Hanan Al-Zubi has been a tireless advocate for the civil and human rights of this marginalized community. Her party, Balad or Hizb al-Tajammu' al-Watani al-Demokrati, is now part of the unified list, which garnered 13 Knesset seats in the most recent Israeli election. Hanan Al-Zubi has paid a high price for her activism. The Israeli right has targeted her for many years, trying to revoke her citizenship and to disqualify her from re-election. The Knesset Ethics Committee suspended her for 6 months based on her political views, and the Israeli High Court affirmed the suspension. The Israeli Election Committee refused to qualify Hanan Al-Zubi as a candidate for re-election in 2013 and again in 2015, but they lost this campaign to silence her. And she has now won elections in 2009, 2013, and 2015. Please help me in welcoming.
Good morning. I expected a very informal meeting with 5, maybe 6 people. I must have this very formal meeting, but it's my pleasure. And I think it's very important for us, very much important as Palestinians, part of our Palestinian people, and indigenous people continue to live in our homeland, which Israel and Israel didn't succeed in expelling us in 1948, although we are the forgotten side of the story. We are the forgotten side of the of our people, of the struggle between Israel and the Palestinian. Israel has treated us as internal issue, as an Israeli internal issue, although we don't have full rights, although she discriminates against us, and I will talk in detail about this. But when we are talking about, when we talk about the Israeli-Palestinian, the Israeli-Arab struggle, whatever we call it now, no one talk about those who continue to live in their homeland, in their houses, in their villages, in their cities. And it's all about the occupation, crimes against humanity in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, killing our people, expanding settlements, and violence of the settlements and of the Israeli army against our people in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. But still, the Palestinian issue didn't start in 1967. and the Palestinian issue started as a refugee issue. Started in 1948. We cannot talk about peace, talk about justice, which is the aim of peace, relative justice, justice. If we forget that it is a refugee issue, started in 1948, we are talking about the creation of a state on the expense of the Palestinian people. And still we can talk about the roots, the historical roots, and a justice peace. We cannot talk about justice peace unless we talk about the reason of occupation, the definition of the state, the aim of Israel, and the way Israel treats the Palestinians,
whatever they are. And if the last defense of Israel, that I am the democracy, if after the claims that you are bombing Gaza, you are killing civilians in Gaza, you are stealing the land of the Palestinians in the West Bank, you are trying to control, you don't want peace, you are trying to control 60% of the Zone C in the West Bank, you build a racist wall inside the green line, inside the West Bank, not on the green line, in order also to confiscate more land. You are Judaizing Jerusalem. You are selling the amlak, property of the refugees. Although you sign Oslo and you sign Rhodes in 1949, which you committed not to sell the property of the refugees until there is a peace a process and until you sign an agreement with the PLO regarding the property of the Palestinian refugees. Although you started, Israel started to sell the property of the refugees in an intensive way, in 2007, from 2007 till 2014, Israel has sold 800 property from the 800 from the refugees' property, with a total silence of the Palestinians. Now, after all these claims, Israel will claim, okay, but we are a democracy, and we are a democracy which defends itself from Hamas, from the terrorists. And we cannot attack Hamas without killing 500 Palestinian children in Gaza, 400 Palestinian children in the West Bank. We are a democracy defending itself. Okay. The Palestinian in Ramallah and in Jenin cannot analyze this claim of a democracy because he is not a citizen. Because a democracy is equality between citizens. The democracy is a democratic regime towards citizens. And the Palestinians in the West Bank, in Ramallah, in Al-Khalil, in Nablus, in Gaza, are not citizens. I am a citizen. And we are the 1,200,000 Palestinians who stayed in their homeland. We are the test. If Israel as a democracy or not. If Netanyahu or any prime minister can come to the USA and can speak so proudly about how democratic Israel is, and can everybody clap to him, and inside Congress they clap to him 32 times, I think because of ignorance. I think because no one knows in the USA, the Empire USA, that in Israel there are 50 racist laws. In Israel, and I'm talking about the legal Israeli system. I'm not talking about occupation. I'm not talking about Hamas. And I am not talking about the Palestinians who are terrorists all over the world. I'm talking about the Israeli legal system. This is the test of democracy. So let's once talk about Israel itself. Let's once face the Israelis. face the ministers, face the MKs, face the Israeli media, face all those who claim that we are anti-Semitic. Whenever we criticize Israel, let's face them, not about the question how Israel treats the Palestinians, but about the questions how Israel treats itself, its citizens. What about, what about Israel, the political and the legal system of Israel? I am a citizen. We didn't, as Palestinians, ask Israel to give us citizenship. It was the UN which asked Israel to give us citizenship in order to be to accept Israel as a member of the UN 1948-1949. And we are treating our citizenship in a serious way. Look, I am in the Knesset. And every Israeli would say to you, Hanin is the Knesset, and Hanin is an indication of the Israeli democracy. But it's a little bit hard to talk about me specifically as an indication of the Israeli democracy after the incitement, disqualification. So they may use other, more comfort examples as an indication and a proof of democracy. But as a citizens, let me explain the legal system we face. The 50 racist laws in Israel is an apartheid law which create an apartheid, which means two different systems, two different legal systems towards the two national categories inside Israel. One for the Jew and one for the Palestinians. I will give you an example, and I will deliver to you the name also of the website in order to use this material. It is an official material. Israel has confiscated 86% of our land till now, and there is an Israeli law which prevent me from living inside 700 community town inside Israel, which are built, of course, above my land. And when we say 700 community city, we mean every city which is under 400 housing units. By law, I cannot live above 60% of the land inside Israel, because the 700 community town control 60% of the land of Israel. And it's a land which was not passed in 1948, which not passed in the 50s and in the 60s when Israel felt it is weak and she wants to control everything. This is a new law. This is a law of 2011. This is the law of the Israeli laws book, because Israel has no constitution. It has passed in 2011, before 3 years. And of course the law doesn't mention the word Palestinian. The law mentions that the acceptance committee of these 700 community cities can reject anyone without the ability for me to appeal to the court, because this was the policy even before the law. But before the law, I had the ability to appeal to the court. Since there is a law, and it's since there is a law, it's a legitimate racism. I cannot appeal to the court. The acceptance committee can reject me. Why? Under the justification that there is no social, I don't know if I translate, ملائمة اجتماعية. Social
compatibility?
Yeah, harmony. Social harmony and cultural harmony. Because, yeah. compatibility. Because these community cities must live in a harmony with the same ceremonies, with the same, I don't know, religious ceremonies, cultural ceremonies. So under social compatibility, this word, we are, as Palestinian, rejected. And you can find in Haaretz a case during the last month of a family who was Arab family, of course, who was rejected. So it's what it is, if not apartheid. And can you imagine the USA have such a law for the African Americans? Can you imagine the USA have an acceptance committee law for rejecting some social groups who constitute 19% of the society? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what will happen in Europe if such a law has passed against Jews and or against any other group? So in Israel, all the land which Israel has confiscated, and why we are so considered about land, because it's still the most conflict issue between us and the state, the issue of land, of controlling the land. And in order to understand that this is not just an issue in the West Bank, that Judaizing the land, controlling the land on the expense of the Palestinians, that the slogan, maximum land with minimum Palestinians, this is the summary of Zionism, is still the macro and the main relation between citizens and the state after almost 70 years, the issue of controlling the land. And when we in the Knesset talk about this, talk about 30,000 Palestinians, Braver Plan, whom Israel wants to expel now, today, 2015, from the Negev, 30,000 Palestinians live in this very small Palestinian villages. Israel wants to expel. Why? In order to build 5 Jewish villages. Now the Negev, 12 million dunams, half of Palestine. The Negev, the south, half of Palestine. You can build for the Jews anywhere you want. Within this 12 million dunams. No. We want your land to evacuate you, to yhasirku, put you, yani, yeah. I will also, I wish you know Arabic. So to put you in, to gather you in a small area and to control the land. And we will, with the same names, we will just, Israel will just keep the names. So, Imm al-Hiran, the Arabic Palestinian Imm al-Hiran, will be destroyed, and the Jewish Hiran will be built. And when we talk in the Knesset about what is this, this is not even discrimination. Because discrimination is to give A less than B. But in Israel, you are not even discriminate against me. We demand for discrimination. We demand you to discriminate against us. This means to give us less than the Jews. But no, you are taking from us. You are taking from A and you are giving to B. So you are stealing us from everything. It is a treatment of not even the enemy. It's a treatment of, we are the obstacle of the Jewish state. And this is what they answer us. They answer us, what do you want? This is a Jewish state, and this is, the aim is to develop the Negev. what's the meaning of to develop the Negev? To develop the Negev. So we don't exist. And this is the real treatment. And this is why we don't accept the word discrimination. We don't exist. Israel plans as if we are not there. We are not there. Simply, we are not there. and you Judaize the Negev, and of course use the word to develop the Negev, to develop it, taking for granted to develop it to the Jews, and taking for granted that there are no Palestinians. And if there are some Palestinians, okay, we will throw them away, we will expel them, no problem. And there is a special ministry for developing, this is the name of the ministry, developing the Galilee and the Negev. Why the Galilee and the Negev? Because they are not satisfied with the demography percentage of the Palestinian in the Galilee, 50% Palestinians in the Galilee. They need a majority in everywhere. A majority in every region. Not just overall majority. No, but also in every region, we need a majority in the Galilee. So we create a ministry to develop, because if the Palestinians are above 50%, this means the Galilee is underdeveloped. If you are the majority there, this means that this region is underdeveloped. We must have efforts in order to have Jewish majority. And the ministries doesn't answer us as they answer you. No, we are a democracy. At least with us, they are so honest. In the Knesset, they say, we are a Jewish state. And you are invaders. And you can find it in the protocol of the Knesset of Uzi Lindau minister answer to me. You are invaders and you are the new, دايما بخربش بهاي الكلمة الصليبيين الجدد. The new crusaders. Formal answer of an Israeli minister 2013. And here Israel comes and talk about the democracy of Israel. Can anyone in the world, can any minister talk like this to his citizens, invaders, and still call itself a democracy? Of course, a lot can do that, but at least no one calls them democracy. And no one treats them as if they are part of the European world, which defend the Europe, which defend the West from the terrorist Islam. Israel has confiscating the land, our land, 86%, and has developed 1,000 cities and villages since 1948. None of these, zero for the Palestinians. We are now living above 30%. And we cannot even use this 30% that we still own. We cannot have license to build houses. Israel has demolished a house 2 weeks ago after election in Kfar Kanna. Tomorrow, we have a strike. Tomorrow, in all 48, we have a strike because of destroying houses. Houses which we built on the remaining 3% of our land. And the Israeli police has killed, when I was here in New Ass, before 5-6 days less, a Palestinian. 51 Palestinian the Israeli police have killed since 2000, and we are not Hamas. If the problem is Hamas, we even didn't throw stones. It was to kill them without any police since 2000, without any charge toward any Israeli police. From the 51 who killed, just one Israeli police has entered the jail for 24 months. So this is a violent system, which it's legitimate to discriminate against us. It is not just legitimate. It's in order to be a Jewish state, we cannot be a democracy. So this is what we are challenging. When we struggle for democracy, we are not just the African Americans who struggle for democracy, because also we are the indigenous people. Because we cannot struggle for civil rights within the existing definition of the state as a Jewish state. What the African American can. They can struggle for civil rights within the definition of America, because the definition of America is state for the citizens. In Israel, the state is for part of the citizen. It's not for me. And I am an obstacle. And if they want to plan anything, they must just move me, like the Lego. Can move me here. And it is not just confiscation of land, it's also confiscation of my history. Zainab, من وين انت؟ انت كمان ناصري. مين من الضفة؟ اهلين من الناصري. كلنا من الناصري. مين من الضفة؟ اصله. شو الاسم؟ شو اسمك؟ لين is a Palestinian. But حنين cannot be a Palestinian. According to Israel, Lin can define itself as a Palestinian. But the minute Hanin defines itself as a Palestinian, then I am disloyal. So the meaning of citizenship in Israel, to be disloyal to my people. To be disloyal to my history. So it is not just confiscating land, it's confiscating my history. It's confiscating my connection to my people, my identity. So the meaning of citizenship in Israel is some way bargaining between my rights and ability to stay in my homeland and my identity. So the whole idea of citizenship is something awful, something very disempowering, and something a way of colonizing my identity. So you are giving me my citizenship in one condition: to forget everything about myself, to lose myself, to have nothing to do with my people, nothing to do with my history. And if I did so, then logically, I must thank you every day because I exist, because you didn't expel me. And this is why in Israel, there is a special group of loyalty law. So you are oppressing me and you want me to be loyal to you and even to admire you. Admire you and to say thank you, Israel. You didn't expel me in 1948. And this is what we say. What they say. They say, look at the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, how they live. Look at the Arabs in Syria and Egypt. But wait a minute, the Palestinians in the West Bank, you had destroyed their life. Cannot compare me. You have destroyed their life. You have destroyed 90% of Gaza factories. You have destroyed the education system in Jerusalem. And I remember myself reading when I was in fourth grade, in Arabic now, because, and we will translate. وبنينا لكم المدارس وعبدنا الشوارع. I remember myself reading a paragraph, and we build you schools and we pave you the streets. So I'm the primitive who you came and you just developed my country, and I must be so grateful to you, and you don't teach me that Yaffa that you destroyed, and the Palestinian cities that you destroyed, Yaffa was the most important mina, seaport from Alexandria to Antakya, and Yaffa used to export 2 million orange boxes to the whole world, and Im Kaltoum had a theater there to do his festival, and Tufi El Hakim, and we were yeah, you know what I want to say. And then in Yaffa, there was 7 sport clubs you destroyed. And in Jaffa, there were 7 daily newspapers who were printed in an Arab matabe' printing press. Now we don't have 7 daily. Now in Israel, 70 years ago, we don't have 7 daily newspaper. We have 1 daily newspaper. And we don't print these newspaper in an Arab printing houses. We print them in a Jewish one when they have Pesach and Jewish religious. So they close, though we don't have a newspaper because of the Jewish holidays. And you are talking about how the way you developed me. You destroyed my civilization in Nakba. You destroyed my society. You expelled the elite, the wealthy, the educated. And you want me also to have a very inferior perception about myself as Palestinian. And in this, Israel has failed. It has occupied. It is treating us as invaders in a colonialist psychology toward us, the citizens, and in more oppressive way than Barghouti. Destroying our national pride, attempting national pride, national identity, in more oppressive way than Barghouti. Because, okay, at least the Palestinians are those who live in West Bank and Gaza. Why? In order to rewrite history. And it's not just a matter of confiscating land. They confiscate the land of Barghouti, but they confiscate my homeland. Means they confiscate the land, rename the geography, the names of the bridges, the streets, rename the cities, trying to change the landscape, change in order not to recognize our homeland more. So this is a new history. We delete everything. Now, Israel needs one thing. The legitimacy from the victim. Still, Israel needs to recognize Israel, to recognize Ihtiraf as Jewish state. In order not to appeal upon anything that I said. Of course, in the education system, we cannot study our history. In the Israeli, we pay taxes, we are citizens, but I pay taxes, and I must study about Zionist history, and about Hayim Nahman Bialik, but not Mahmoud Darwish. And we pay taxes, and we must learn maybe how primitive we were, Gufiyu wa'al, everything. Pay taxes to talk about how our to internalize inferiority. And in the education system, the education minister has pulled every textbook which wrote or uses the word Nakba. Because it was a period of time when they used the word Nakba, when they said this is the narrative, not the fact. It was not a fact that, it's a narrative, maybe an imagined narrative that we were expelled 1948. So the narrative, it was, and they used the word Nakba. But Gideon Sa'ar, Netanyahu minister, 2-3 years ago, has given a direction to pull all the textbook with the expression Nakba. and Israel and all such insane laws, the acceptance committee law, pulling in Nakba, took place during the last 6-7 years. It is not on the beginning of Israel, when it was weak, she wanted to be so aggressive in the beginning, and after that, she will treat itself as a normal state. No. All of these very aggressive colonialist, which express colonialist attitude, took place the last 6 years, not the first 6 years. And in Israel, there is a special law to prevent me from commemorating in Nakba. Special law, you must not remember Nakba. It's by law. And the draft of the law was penalty to every individual or institution which commemorate in Nakba. And we were asking what this means. What's individual commemoration? If I talked with my friends about Nakba, will some police come and arrested us? What this means? And then the last version of the law, which has been passed, every institution who took budget from the government and make anything during May, we can make anything during April, or I don't know, but during May, because it's the independent, and we consider the independent as our catastrophe. This is what we say everywhere. Your independent day is our catastrophe. Then, if we did so, if any institution commemorating Nakba in any way, the Ministry of Finance, can freeze the budget of this institution. Can freeze the budget. And we don't know that till now. Some professor in the university said, what this is supposed to mean? A Jewish said, does this mean if we want to have a panel, a discussion about in Nakba, is this to commemorate in Nakba? Would the education ministry freeze the budget of the university? So, I want you to understand that Israel cannot come so easily and talk about Israel democracy. Please. She cannot. Unless Israel is a black hole, no one must talk about what's going on there. No one must follow the laws. And she can enjoy our full ignorance. Israel is a racist state. And I'm not talking about right wing. La. I'm not talking about the right wing. I'm not talking about Lieberman. Lieberman has no contribution at all in this 50 racist laws. At all. We are talking about the left wing. We are talking about Avodala, the Labour Party. They are the Labour Party's law. The party law and the Likud law. Not the right wing, as if in Israel the problem is those few extremists. La. The problem is the system itself. The definition of the state itself. And if there is 50 rabbis, rabbi, who published a letter, 50, a letter, don't rent, we should not rent houses to Arabs. It is a symptom. It is the outcome. Can 50 Muslim or Christian or I don't know in America, can they dare to think, not to publish, to think, to publish a letter not to rent houses to African American Jews, whatever? Can anyone think about that? And if they did, what would the world say? But this is so easy. This is going on so easy. And Israel continue to say, I am the only democracy. And you must defend me because we are equal and we give equal rights. And because we have representatives in the parliament. Yes, we have. You have representative in the parliament because it's an indication of your strength and not your democracy. You are giving us to scream because you know that our scream makes no scream, Surah, makes no difference. You steal my homeland, you steal my land, you don't permit me to study my identity, to express my identity, to struggle for democracy, simple democracy, and you call me terror when I struggle. And then you say to me, okay, scream. You have a majority. It's a racist democracy. You have a majority, and you a racist majority, and you uses this racist majority in order to justify your racism. Why you can, and you don't understand from democracy anything except the role of the majority, the tyranny of the majority. And why you have now a majority? Remember, because of ethnic cleansing, you have a majority. It's democracy that you make force it by ethnic cleansing. Democracy, not democracy. Role of majority because you reach this majority by ethnic cleansing. During the 47 years of occupation on Jerusalem, Israel has sahbat jinsiyat, sahbat al-jinsiyat, withdrew the identity from 176,000 Palestinians. Imagine the numbers. It's a continuous ethnic cleansing. It is not just that Nakba is an event in the past. Let's forget about it. It happened. Khalas. And now we are trying to build a real democracy. No, it's a continuous. It's ethnic cleansing, continuous process. Stealing my land, confiscation, continuous. Oppressing me. Judaizing, not just Jerusalem, Judaizing every single region. Still, the Israeli intelligence involved himself in appointing teachers and dead teachers in the schools. Still. So, what our message is to, first of all, Israel should be accountable for this. It cannot come and have this warm meetings all over the world and no one ask her. 50 laws, every senator should know these 50 laws. Okay, you want to support Israel. Okay, but know that you are supporting Israel in spite of this and this and this and this and this and this. We don't want the world to love us, to love the Palestinians. We don't need love. It's Israel who needs love in order to forget about her crimes. We don't need love, any love. We need justice. And we ask the Americans not to be part of this racist policy. Because it's your taxes. This is what we are telling the Americans, this is your taxes, and this is your regime, and okay, you cannot be neutral. You cannot be neutral. So please be aware that you are part of the of this oppression. You are part of the oppression. And it's not Hamas. I'm not Hamas. And I'm the most hated. I'm a feminist woman. I am a liberal woman. And when we say democracy, we say democracy and equality between men and women, and not just between Israelis and Palestinians, Arab and Jews inside my homeland. And it is not because we are Palestinians, because Israel wants Arabs inside the Knesset. It wants Zionist Arabs inside the Knesset to be part of the system. It wants Zoher Bahloul or other names. Okay, Israel wants Arabs, but it doesn't want the voice of the victim. Israel wants the good Arabs, and it all the time give names of Arabs. Yeah, okay, it's your Arabs, yalla, sahten. They don't represent us. In every society, there are those who feel inferior and want to identify with the oppressor. Okay. Yeah, a lot. And all of them said, Hanin doesn't represent us. Of course I don't represent you. Of course, yeah, and it would be a catastrophe if I represent you. So Israel wants the good Arabs. And everybody, this is so easy. We have treasure of very racist laws. Declaration of the Israeli ministries. The public opinion. We must talk about public opinion. The Israeli public opinion. According to the Israeli Democratic Institution, which make an index of democracy every year, according to the index of 2012, 55% of the Israelis don't agree with full equality to the Palestinian citizens. Don't agree. 55. Theoretically, not talking about national struggle, occupation, or Jerusalem. La. We are talking about equality. Simple equality. 55. Don't agree. So how come this is a society which is ready to peace and want peace? She doesn't want equality to the citizen. And to shock you more, 30% of the Israeli society agree. And this is the website, www.idi.co.il. 30% of the Israeli society agree to put the Palestinians, the Palestinian citizen, into Hajj, reservation, if a war has raised between Israel and the Arab world, in order for us not to collaborate and to be fifth column.
Can you repeat the website again?
Al-website, al-jumla sa'bi, intu bta'iduha. www.idi, Israeli Democracy Institution, something like that, but IDI. It is the Israeli Institute for Democracy, but the website www.idi.co.il.
co.il.
L for Israel. IL. It's like the America and the Japanese in the second. Exactly. 30%. So this is the society. And why this is the society? Because this is legitimate to be racist. This is part of the game. This is part of the definition. This is part of the political culture. And regarding the occupation, we know, but some important statistics regarding Gaza. It's not just the murder and the killing and pumping Gaza every 2 years as a way to maintenance the siege, kill children. 95% of the water of Gaza is polluted. 95, it's the UN statistics. And the settlements has been grown during the last 10 years, the settlers, three times since 2002, since the negotiation. And according to the Israeli researchers, Israel expand settlements during negotiation time more than it expands settlements during مش الور during لما فيش شيء. Why there is no negotiation? It feels more comfortable to negotiate and expand settlements. This means to force facts on the ground. And if you ask any Israeli, do you want, what's your opinion about peace? He will answer you like this. First of all, of course, the Palestinians are terrorists. They don't want peace. Okay, we understand that. Third of all, if you want to be more honest with you, he will say to you, but we don't need peace. The question, this is the question. If peace is a need, and when peace is a need, when you pay the price of your occupation, when you pay the price of oppression, but you don't pay. The Palestinians, I say the Palestinians, the citizens, don't exist. And we are obstacles. They can move us. When they want to develop a curriculum, history curriculum, we don't exist. When they want to develop this area, we don't exist. Okay, 5 minutes. Okay. But also in the consciousness of the Israelis, the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip are not don't exist anymore. They are not just behind the wall. They are behind the ocean. They are very far away. They don't disturb our lives. And we don't pay the price. Nor economically we are a friend of the USA. And when we speak in the Knesset, and we say, the Arab MKs, the world will punish you, will isolate you. Then a minister will come and say to us, answer us, be calm, no one will punish us. We have a very good relation with everyone, better relation with the USA, and better relation with... And we sit and we say to ourselves, yes, he's right, we are wrong. So as long as Israel doesn't, and it is a very simple mu'adali, equation. As long as Israel doesn't pay the price, it will not reconsider its policies. And we cannot just wait for the salvation from inside Israel. It is not something related to the internal dynamics. So people ask us, what about the left wing? No left wing in Israel. We said to you, 55% of the society doesn't agree with equal. No left wing. Merits, even merits, has won 4 seats. And merits has supported the war in Gaza for the first 2 weeks, the last war upon Gaza. Merits. The most, the yani extremist left in the Knesset support the war on Gaza. So no, since Camp David II, 1998, since Barak has said there is no partner to peace, the whole society have shifted its strategy, and the political elite in Israel has shifted its strategy toward a one-sided solution and toward, okay, there is no Palestinian side to accept our dictations, and the maximum we give is less than the minimum the Palestinian can accept. So we will solve it by ourselves. And they did. They did it with the 3 strategies. The wall, the siege, we forget about Gaza, and we say to the whole world, there is no occupation. No occupation while Israel controls the sea border and the borders and the movement of the people and the movement of the goods and the registration system of the people and the taxes system of Gaza and the electricity and everything controls the life of the people, destroying schools, bombing everything, distortion of society. and put 2 million people in a jail, and they say Gaza is free. We ended the occupation. 2 minutes. And three strategies. So forget about Gaza with the siege. Forget about the West Bank with the wall and military coordination with the Palestinian Authority. So why to end? Why to end occupation? It's done. There is no occupation. We control everything. There is no need to solve the struggle. We need just to maintain and to idar tisira, to manage. And we are manage the struggle, and we are managing it very, very well. Very well. We have a routine. We can still have a very routine and progress and strengthening our economy as Israel, and everything is okay, and we don't pay the price. And if anyone criticizes us, we will say anti-Semitic. And we will mention the Holocaust. But you cannot mention the Holocaust because you don't represent the victims of the Holocaust. Because the whole lesson of the Holocaust and the whole idea is don't kill and don't be racist. And you kill and you are racist. So we are the victim. We, the Palestinians, can represent the victims of the Holocaust, not you. And it is a humiliation of the victim of the Holocaust every time you mentioning them while you are racist. You are humiliating the Holocaust. And you are humiliating the victims of the Holocaust. We are respecting the Holocaust as a strategy. You are not. You are using them in order to justify your crimes against humanity and your war crimes and your oppression of the Palestinians. And our vision, and this is in order not to have your sign for the third time, I will finish. Having saying all what we say, we are representing a vision of justice, to live together in equality. We don't want to throw the Jews, the Israelis, to the sea. We don't. But there is no possibility with a racist definition. We demand right of return to the Palestinians, to their homes. We demand total withdrawal from the West Bank and Gaza Strip. We demand East Jerusalem, and we demand state for all of its citizens. We cannot live in peace and justice with Zionism and Jewish state as a racist state. And we don't care whether one state or two states. So I don't like the question of one state or two states. One state, it is, I find it a very academic and running hurub lal amam. It's running from the problem. The problem now is the suffering of our people, and the suffering, in the violence. The Palestinian farmers cannot enter their fields in order to يحصدوا الزرع تبعهن. And thank you.
We have to leave it there. But now you know how difficult it must be to silence Hanin al-Zubi. She is indeed a force of nature. Please tune in again next week for another edition of This Week in Palestine. This is your host, John Roberts, hoping you will get involved in the struggle to bring justice to the Palestinian people. We will talk again next week.